Blog Talk Radio.
When I found Jesus, he was holding on to me. Broken, I couldn't stand upon my feet. With a word, he broke my chains. I was free to breathe again. My life was saved by the love and blood of Jesus. When I found Jesus, he was standing over me. I was down and out on the lonely street. There were times I could have died, but the Lord was by my side. I didn't know I'd been saved by the blood of Jesus. He took the weight off my shoulders and came and gave me rest. He came and gave me rest. Gave me peace from my troubles. Lord, I have been blessed. When I found Jesus, to look into my eyes, saw the tears and heard my cries. Oh, where I stood, I was saved by the blood of Jesus. The empty promises of the world had forsaken.
Just magnificent. Now, that's a different version than what I'm used to hearing from Steph McLeod, but nonetheless, it is magnificent. Welcome to another End Time News Report with the one and only Sister Marie and her trusty sidekick, who is hoping to push the right buttons today. Yours truly, that was Steph McCloud, When I Found Jesus. And as a good Calvinist, I'm sure that Steph McCloud knows that Jesus found him first. And once Jesus finds us, then it seems like we found Jesus. Now, I know Steph McCloud knows that. But yes, the Lord Jesus finds us first, and then the light bulb goes on, and then we find Jesus. Glory be to God. Well, without any further ado, let me bring on my dear sister, because as a sidekick, you're not supposed to do a lot of talking. The talking is supposed to be done by the host. My wife told me that. My wife says, you know, you're a sidekick, but you do a lot of talking. You know, Johnny Carson had a sidekick, and the sidekick was just supposed to sit there and smile at every one of Johnny Carson's jokes, but not say much. But you do a lot of talking. What kind of sidekick are you? Well, praise the Lord. Sister Marie, how are you doing today?
I'm all right.
Good. Wonderful. Now,
you got your orders already, right?
Yeah. I mean, here's a person who never steps into the studio, never pushes a button, never does anything, and yet she's acting like a church bishop, decreeing and declaring. And so I had to remind her that her dog needed walking. And, you know, so,
oh,
yeah, but, no, she's a good kid. She's just trying to help me, you know, she's just trying to be the helpmate.
Absolutely.
That she's supposed to be. I get it. I don't take offense to it, but,
Not at all.
But, you know, that's why she works in her world and I work in my world.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if I'm cooking one night, she's got to be on the other side of the house, because I don't want her coming by and telling me, add this spice or add that.
I do the same thing.
Yeah, so she's got to be on her side. If she wants me to cook now, if she wants me to cook, I'll cook. But don't butt in. I don't need advice on recipes and what to do and what not to do. Because when I cook, everybody licks their fingers. Everybody licks their fingers. So
right.
You know, I'm gonna
mm-hmm.
leave it there. Praise the Lord.
Yeah,
praise
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
idea. You'll be cooking tonight too.
Absolutely. So we have a wonderful show in store for the saints. Now, Steph McCloud has sung that song before, but it was
mm-hmm.
different. Same words, but it was different.
Yes, it's been
right?
revised. This is a revised, you know, remix,
mm-hmm.
revised version
right.
of the song that he
right.
originally
right.
sang and wrote, I believe. I don't
okay.
know. I think he wrote that song. I'm not sure.
All right. But yeah,
unless
I like the original.
I don't know. Not
that this version is bad. This version is good.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the original. In the original, he's like singing and crying at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very soulful song.
Yes,
so.
And I agree with that because I think in the original he was a lot younger, believe it or not, and his voice
mm-hmm.
has changed as he got older.
Okay.
So, you know, so his singing's a little bit, you know, different than it was in the beginning.
Right, right.
And you'll notice that in a lot of his music. So he just grew up, you know.
Sure, sure. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Great
yeah.
singer, though.
Great absolutely, singer. Absolutely, absolutely. So what do you have in store for us today?
Well, we have lots of news. We have lots of news today. So we're going to run through some stories and talk about some things going on. And I'd like your opinion on most of them, regardless of what anybody says. I do do like your opinion and want your opinion on these stories. Now, the first one, this could affect you because I read where a pastor was fined $5,000 and ordered to take LGBTQ sensitivity training classes. Now, think about that.
And where was that? In the Twilight Zone?
No, let me see. I believe he's in Montana. This is Montana. Pastor Brandon Huber announced that his church would hold an event to expose LGBTQ, the LGBTQ agenda. But because he's also, now get this, a part-time realtor, he was charged and convicted of committing hate speech. Yeah, think about that.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. See, the problem is, like I shared with you before, I pastor a little church, right?
Mm-hmm.
The church has, when I got there, it had 12 people. Okay, so now it's up to 50. 50, 60, mm-hmm. depends. Now, I don't take a penny from the church, and I'm not saying that to put the church down. But so and I have no part-time jobs. I don't work for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm self-employed. Right?
Right.
So no one's going to boss me around and tell me to take sensitivity classes because I don't sell real estate. I don't sell encyclopedias. I don't sell, shoes. This is it. So if you're into the real estate gig and you're dealing with the public and you have a real estate license from the state,
mm-hmm.
now you got issues. See?
Yep. Yep. Well,
and,
the thing was, this was I found the address here. It's Clinton Community Bible Church in Clinton, Montana. I would presume that small little town,
Sure.
And the thing was, the argument was, is they terminated their partnership or relationship that they had. They didn't have any contract or anything like that to a food bank due to the LGBTQ ideas coming into the food bank and the community's involvement with the LGBTQ community
right.
or area, the people within that. And the church decided that they probably shouldn't be involved in this, with this particular food bank because of these things. Now, that was the problem more than the real estate, but they were able to go after him through his work. You see what I'm saying? His
sure,
employment.
because the gays are going to say, don't buy from that real estate. A company, whether it's Century 21 or whatever, they're going to say boycott it, right? So that's it.
Yep.
That's it. That's why you can't have, listen, either Jesus has called you into the ministry and you get fully involved in that, or just go sell books, go sell encyclopedias. That's it.
Right.
That's it.
They went after his employment, though.
Yeah.
You see, it wasn't even over his words. It was ending that partnership. They claimed discrimination through his work because he worked. They used his business because they couldn't say, the church.
Right.
Still, he got sued and convicted.
Yeah. And this is why we have no food bank. And if we ever have a food bank, it's the food will be given by the church members for the church members.
Mm-hmm.
We don't partner with New York State. We don't partner with any agency that's going to muzzle us. They're going to give us a few shekels and then muzzle us. We don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not for me. That's not for the church. So
no.
That's it.
It's mingling with any, you know, worldly organization, you know, can get you in trouble, I guess.
Right.
You know, if you're a church. So,
mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, if someone gets offended by a simple action, like pulling out of it, you know, the food bank
right.
thing, they can sue
mm-hmm.
you. Amazing. Amazing. I
well,
found that interesting.
Why, listen, they can sue. Now, whether they win is a different story. See?
Yeah, they did win.
Yeah, people
can sue. He had to pay
$5,000. Yeah, he must have had a crappy lawyer.
Yeah. Well, it's Clinton, Montana. Probably a 4-horse pound, you know.
Yeah, you must have had a crappy
know.
Lawyer to lose that
yeah.
case.
Well, he did. I think the first judge wanted to throw it out, but then, you know, they pursued. Yeah,
right.
And you
just
know,
take
I don't know
to,
the whole background.
Just take it up to the Supreme Court. That's all. Take it up to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Don't let them
yeah,
win
really.
There. Just appeal. Just appeal.
Oh, I don't know.
It's like
it's
that.
Terrible,
it's like that
it?
Football coach that couldn't pray after a game.
Mm-hmm.
He took it all the way up to the Supreme Court. That's all.
Yeah. Yep.
Don't
that's
give
right.
them. Don't give them a shekel. Don't give them a red cent. That's it.
Well, see, the idea is, too, is a lot of people, they don't understand their rights. You know. They don't understand that these things are actually what they're doing. They're violating the law by doing it. You know, your rights. They're violating your rights,
mm-hmm.
your
right.
constitutional rights when they do things, and people won't take it any further because they don't know that. They don't understand that.
Right.
You know, so they just, you know, pay the fine and forget it. But, you know, where does that lead down the road? Scary
mm-hmm.
where it can go.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. You know?
Sure.
Well, I don't know. I just don't know. You know, the new thing is to call polemicists bullies. That's the new thing. So
but
I guess
they're
you're a
bullies.
Bully now.
But they're
yeah,
bullies.
They
you know you know why they're bullies? Because they get into people's faces.
Yeah.
They're the bullies. They're the ones
yep.
trying to shove down this agenda down our throats.
Mm-hmm.
They're the bullies.
Yep.
They're the ones in the Bible who broke down Lot's door. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Correct me if
exactly.
I'm wrong. Weren't they the ones in Genesis 19 who busted Lot's door? Trying
That's
to
right.
get in? Okay, so
surrounded
I'm
the house.
Sorry. Yeah, they're the militant. They're the militant people, not us.
That's right.
Not us. So,
yeah.
Look.
But it's hypocritical.
I mean, I'm not for the Catholic Church. I'm not for the mm-hmm. Catholic Church. But look at the people now picketing Catholic churches on abortion.
Right.
Week after week. Right. Who's the bully now? Who are the bullies?
Mm-hmm.
They lose
right.
in court. They lose fair and square in court. And then they show up at your church picketing.
Yeah.
Who's the bully? Who's the sore loser?
Ironic.
Who's
it is
the
ironic,
sore loser?
But, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Crazy.
Absolutely.
Crazy.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll see. But, you know, as it is, I'll try to get more on his statements of what's going on, you know. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just a matter of fighting. And you know what happens when you fight. And, if, you know, they have a lot of money. And it's not individual. It's an entire group you're fighting against. You
sure.
know.
But you know what you do?
A movement.
You know, yeah, you know what you do? You go on the news and you say to Christians around the nation, hey, can you support me in this lawsuit? I'm being bombarded
yeah.
by this group. Here I am in Montana. Can you guys send me an offering? Can I get 1,000
mm-hmm.
people to send me a $5 offering so that I can fight this thing? And he'll get $50,000 instead of five.
Yeah, yeah,
see,
really.
But you can't punk out. You can't turn
That's
into
right.
a wimp. You can't do it, right?
No. Nope.
You just can't.
Nope.
So that's it.
Wow. Well, crazy, crazy, crazy. Okay, last weekend I did some boots on the ground research along with babysitting two teenagers. And
wow.
Boy, do I have prayers for you. Yes. I don't know how you do it. I had a 16 and a 17-year-old. But, you know, that was different. That was
sure.
different. You know, took me back a few years here. But you remember a year before COVID arrived, I went to a Scottish Fest, and the Freemasons had a booth there where they were taking DNA from children.
Right.
And mm-hmm. it was all under the guise of protecting or locating lost children in the event that they go missing. And you remember when I got home, I called you first. And then I
right.
did some research. And I found out that they were doing this all over the U.S. and Canada in
mm-hmm.
collaboration with the police departments, different police departments. So last week, and I attended it, and it was 96, hot, terrible, humid day, but I went. So I went to the event again to see if they were still doing this. And the answer is no. However, they now have a Scottish clan booth set up between the different clans. So there's like, which was odd, but it's not really odd because a 33-degree Mason, you know, is from the Scottish Rite, okay?
Right.
So it wouldn't be odd, but it is odd that they're set up between the clans. Because you had like the McDonald's, you know, the McRae's,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the Masons. You know, that's just a group, not a clan, you know. So just didn't make sense to me. They weren't soliciting for DNA, but for membership. So I had a question. I mean, I do have a question yet. Why was the DNA program so important before the COVID, but it's not now?
Hmm.
You remember, I mean, it was a big thing.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's not important after the COVID.
Right, right.
Wouldn't you ask that question? Wouldn't you think about that?
Sure. Sure.
Why were they adamant around the United States getting DNA before COVID? Now, after COVID, they are not. They're
yeah,
just soliciting for membership.
Yeah. Your guess is as good as mine.
And what did they do with all of the information they got? Like the child's name, child's address, child's DNA, all this information, where he went to school.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that
yep.
go? Curious, right?
Yep.
Well, the only way I would have found that out is by going, you know, to see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when they mentioned, you know, the kids mentioned, you know what? Be a good thing to go to that. I thought, yes, it would. Not realizing how hot it was going to be. I mean, a little scorcher. But, you know, whatever. But I did find that out because I was curious. If they're still doing it, why? When they weren't, then I was curious, why not? Well, I mean, think about it. It was so important that they were doing this around the United States with local police departments at one time. Now it's not important anymore. Why? It was a program, a funded program
mm-hmm.
to do this, to collect DNA.
Right. Yep.
Hmm.
I don't know. Those
things that make you go, hmm.
Yeah, that's a head scratcher for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Really odd. But anyway, they got their own booth. And in the parade, when the different Scottish clans march, they come out in the different families and all that. It's amazing. The Freemasons have inserted themselves in the middle of the clans, you know?
Yep.
And I thought, well, they're everywhere. They're everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I can
sure.
see the connection. With the 33 degree, you know, Scottish Rite. I can see the connection. but I can't see why they're showing up and recruiting. I can tell you the booth was empty. I mean, there were two people in there waiting with all their information, and no one that I saw went in there. So that was a good thing. But amazing. Okay, we have audio one, and we're going to start this. I have times on this one. We're going to start this at point 50, so that's 50 seconds in, and we're going to run it to 438 is all. And this is the Pope goes full heathen, then does something no Pope's ever done before. Now, I want to explain. I have no idea who this internet news source is, but he has a wonderful clip. He's got a great clip I want. So it sounds like, you know, when I listen to him, that's why we're moving it in a little. It sounds like he believes that the Roman Catholics are truly Christians. But he's not, it doesn't sound like he's a Roman Catholic. But you can actually see the video and what he's talking about. And like I said before, I don't agree with his commentary, but the audio is interesting. And it, this involves the indigenous people and the and their relationship with the Catholic Church.
Okay.
So if you want to play that, at 438.
438. Okay,
yes.
Here it is.
Going in at 50.
Seems like the Catholic Church has a lot to apologize for. They've had members who've committed horrible acts of abuse, much of the time to children. Now Pope Francis is apologizing again, this time for the horrible abuse done to indigenous children in Canada. NextNewsNetwork.com reports the Pope is currently on a week-long penitential pilgrimage, and his first stop was in Alberta, Canada. He was there to beg for forgiveness for the Catholic Church's abuse of indigenous children in residential schools across Canada. The church-run schools were created by the government to force indigenous Canadians to assimilate into Christian society. Wait, did I read that right? Oh, created by the government. Oh, so he's apologizing for the government now? They continue that they separate children from their families, and then they abuse them in the name of God. The Pope said, "I'm deeply sorry. I humbly beg forgiveness for the evil committed by so many Christians against the indigenous peoples." The apology seemed to be...
No, it wasn't done by Christians. It was done by priests.
Exactly. Do you see? That's what I said,
yeah,
I don't agree with this commentary.
Yeah, it wasn't done by Christians. It was done by the priests sent by the Roman Catholic Church. They purposely separated the children in order to molest them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Anyone trying to separate you from your youngsters ought to give you great pause, because this person is up to no good. And the Canadian government, then the Canadian government was in bed with the harlot Church of Rome, and that's why they molested so many kids. So we don't your apology. We don't accept your apology. Where's the cash?
Yeah.
Where's the cash?
Pope.
Exactly.
Yeah, when I said the guy calls us, when he says Christians, he's presuming Catholics are Christians. I said that right up front. Nobody caught that, too. I was like, well, wait a minute, Christians didn't do that. So, yeah, exactly. I mean, where's
Yeah, it wasn't even Roman Catholic members. It was the priest. Priest.
Yep.
The clergy. Okay.
Yep.
Accepted as evidenced by the gift of a traditional headdress that an indigenous leader bestowed on the Pope amid applause. Watch.
Thank you.
So what was that scripture? Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 10:2. Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. From the late 1800s to 1997, more than 150,000 indigenous children were taken from their families to attend residential boarding schools with the goal of forcibly assimilating them and making them Christian. They would violently punish them for speaking their native language and cut their long hair. There, of course, was sexual abuse. A common saying was, kill the Indian, save the man. The schools were not only in Canada. There were once more than 400 of those schools in the United States. How about we just leave them alone? I mean, why do we just do that? At the beginning of the report, I noted that these were government schools. Amazingly, though, the indigenous people were so forgiving. I guess I understand that Pope Francis was in no way directly involved with what happened to those children. If that's the case, why apologize? I mean, liberals could use a dose of that type of understanding when they talk about reparations, but was it right for the Pope to remind them that the Catholic Church did some good things as well? It's kind of like saying, but look at all the good things we did in addition to all the abuse. What do you think?
Sure, you raped me, but then you gave me pizza. Whoop-de-doo.
Yes, exactly. Well said. Well said. That's it.
Yeah. The great harlot. The great harlot.
Oh, I know.
The great harlot.
I know.
Yeah. What are you going to do? And meanwhile, Pope Francis goes to Canada and everybody's bowing.
Exactly.
And for what?
Yeah.
And for what?
He continues to promote the unbiblical practices all the time to lead Catholics straight and other people straight to hell, you know. He doesn't rectify any wrongs. He never has. He adds to them, the wrongs. That's what he does all the time, you know. He's an antichrist. Not the antichrist, I don't think this one, but surely an antichrist. What do you say to that?
No doubt. The Antichrist of Antichrist, right?
Mm-hmm.
What can we say? And when he says the Pope is not directly connected, yes, he is.
Yes.
He's the Pope.
Yes.
So he's not directly. What? Listen, the guy's 90. You don't think he molested somebody? Or you don't think
really. He
saw abuse? Or you don't think he shuffled around those bishops that were he's directly connected. He's the Pope.
Mm-hmm. He is the connection.
Exactly.
You know? He's also the one that hides them, you know, when
exactly.
they get into trouble.
Sure.
So he protects them, too.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know. Ridiculous. He's wearing a headdress. You know?
He looks like a gopher Indian. That's what he looks like, a gopher Indian. Go, go, gopher. Go, go, gopher. I mean, that's you know. Him saying. You never watched the gopher Indians? And there was one retarded gopher Indian who used to go, and then there was one who would interpret. Him say. Yeah, I mean, that's what you...
Oh, I remember the movie Little Big Man. The one.
It's crazy.
Day one of all the time.
Let me play a gopher Indian cartoon for you. Here it is. Here, listen to this.
Okay.
Here we go. Hurry up, stupid ad. They got all these ads embedded in this.
Oh, I know.
All right, here we go.
Two little Indians, no.
Go, go, gophers, watch 'em go, go, go.
Two little Indians, no others near.
Colonel, he vows these two soon disappear. Fighting the army blue, soldiers galore.
What can two Indians do? Oh my God,
take care of those gopher Indians once and for all. A United States Army Indian giver.
Indian giver?
Precisely. Now, this machine gives us the position of those Indians anywhere in Gopher Gulch. You see, that's the teepee. There's one of the gophers, and there's the other one running up.
Oh, Colonel got him new box. What in box? Oh, you not see, so us sneak up to see. We have fun. Uh-oh, Colonel have many cannon. How we manage to sneak up on fort?
Because that's what the Colonel comes to do.
Oh, Colonel have all cannon pointing south, so we sneak up from north.
Look there, Sergeant. They're moving around to the north. They're trying to attack from our weak side.
What do we do, Colonel?
Follow me to the cannons.
All cannons pointing in one direction. Him never think we come this way. Somehow, Colonel see brave braves in daylight. So now, we sneak up in dark. But how we get over wall? Ooh, us use them wings to glide in like silent owls. We outsmart Colonel for sure.
Congratulations, Mr. Amin.
What? Sergeant? What? Oh, it's the Indian giver. I knew those gophers would try again.
Wow. Colonel, it looks like they're flying.
Bully, Sergeant. Bully for you. That's exactly what they're doing. Follow me.
Poor stupid Colonel. Him never think we come in from air.
Charge!
Where are they this time, Colonel?
See the bubbles? They're trying to sneak up on us through the river.
They sure are, Colonel. What'll we do?
Grab that coal stove and I'll bring all the coal we can carry. There'll be a hot time in the old gulch today.
Wow, look at them go. I wonder what they're up to now.
Up to, Sergeant? They're up to nothing. The Gopher Indians are finished for good. We'll never see them again.
Gee, I don't know. I just can't imagine the Gophers giving up. Well, you all tune in for our...
And that's it. One of the gophers speaks in tongues. He goes.
You got off watching the cartoon, didn't you?
That's it. That's what I grew up. I grew up watching the Gopher Indians, and then I would go to church, and I would see people go, and I said, look at that. This is the Gopher congregation.
You're sick.
I mean.
Oh. I like how you says Indian giver.
Yeah.
That's so politically incorrect.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But these are classic cartoons. And they had 5,000 soldiers chasing two Gopher Indians. That's the whole show was 5,000 soldiers and 100 cannons pointed at two little Indians.
Oh, man.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's amazing. That was it.
Yeah.
Yep, that was him. That was the Pope. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Boy. Can't make this stuff
That's
up.
That's the Pope.
I'm telling you.
That was the Pope with all his nonsense. I'm sorry.
Yep.
We apologize. No.
Yep.
Absolutely not. Where's the convictions? Where's the prison terms?
Right.
No.
That's the point.
This garbage about I'm sorry, that's not going to cut it.
Right. Right. Why is it that everybody in the world would go to prison? I mean, think about it. Everybody would go to prison for the things that these priests have done. And yet,
sure, but not
they
the church.
Don't. Yeah,
not the church. No, it's incredible.
It is incredible. It's incredible.
Sure,
they never serve time. They get a new vacation home somewhere.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
and there's the Pope
terrible.
Wearing a dopey hat. Listen, these prostitutes will do whatever. They will do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They'll
That's
do whatever.
Right.
That's how wicked they are.
Yep.
And that other guy's over there, and putting the thing on the Pope's head. Are you kidding me? It's time to take out your bow and arrows and shoot him.
Yes,
for the atrocities.
Exactly.
For the atrocities.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about it.
Let's talk about how they purposely, on purpose, took the kids away from their parents. Who gave them the legal right to take away little children from their parents? And then after you took them away, you molested them.
That's right.
And now you come back and you say you're sorry? We're sorry. Oh, I want to apologize. You want to apologize for this? You're going to burn in hell.
Yes, exactly.
For this,
exactly.
You're going to burn
now,
in
remember,
hell.
Remember, it happened in Ireland too. The same thing.
Right.
Just different
That's,
people.
Absolutely.
They took the children away.
Absolutely.
And then they molested them, and then they killed them.
Remember that show that you did? You did a series of shows on how they took young ladies and they turned them into. Laundry workers, and they were work, and then the priests were having their way with those girls.
Yes, exactly. And the babies that were produced were smothered by the nuns.
Yes,
you know, and buried in the yard. They found 300 of them.
Sure.
In one church, at one
it's
church
not a,
yard.
It's not an isolated issue. This was
no,
ongoing.
It's not.
And Satan loves those. He loves those baby sacrifices. That's listen. You think they would have given those priests condoms, right? But no.
Mm-hmm.
The Roman Catholic Church doesn't do that because Rome is into baby sacrifices.
That's right.
They want to produce babies so that they can still kill them to the devil.
Yeah.
I know what I'm talking about.
Yes, exactly.
Right? No, listen, these people, and then they want to come and apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got the last remaining Gopher Indian, putting a, dude.
Crown on his head, right?
It's pathetic.
Basically.
It's pathetic.
Yeah, it is. Yep. At what point don't people see this? I mean, you know.
People are stupid.
Why would you just say, I mean, I had a friend who knew that a priest was molesting children and stuff, still send their kids there every week.
No. You listen. It's like the moronic parents, you have to be retarded to be taking your child to a drag queen. Listen, something's wrong with you. You are taking your innocent child and letting that child bounce on the belly of a drag queen.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
And I did see where the Catholic Church recently had a drag queen event, one of the Catholic churches, too.
Oh, if you have that audio, please send it to me. If you have it, if there's
audio
I'll on it,
for
please.
It. Yep.
Yeah, please send it to me. Please.
Yep. Will.
Please.
Will do. Will do. I'll make a note right now.
Yeah. Tragic.
Yes. It's, you know, what can you say on this? But, you know, sickening.
Sure.
Okay. Let me see here. Let's do a little story here. Okay. Governor Whitmer tested positive for COVID.
She did.
No. Yes. She's reporting mild symptoms.
You mean fully vaccinated? Whitmer?
Yes.
She's got it?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Now listen,
wow.
Tell me this isn't a propaganda statement here that she makes. She states, thankfully I'm only experiencing mild symptoms after being fully vaccinated and twice boosted. Then she expressed gratitude for her family, staff, and the vaccine for offering her robust protection against the virus. And she encouraged other Michigan residents to get vaccinated and boosted. Is that propaganda or what?
It's propaganda.
Yeah. Yes.
It's propaganda.
She got robust protection.
Sure.
What's that mean? She got the...
She
needed a boat ride, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's boat time, you know. Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know.
Governor Whitmer,
And the way she thanked everyone, she sounded like she was getting an Academy Award, you know, for best actress.
Sure. Because that's what she thinks she is. Yeah.
Well, she can thank Trump for the vaccine, right? He introduced it. As much as she despises him, he got her vaccine. That's what she wanted.
And vice versa.
I don't know how
he despises her. Yeah, he despises her. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. You see, the people, I'm telling you, must be blind when it comes to her. You know, she's now saying that the Republican running against her, coming up running against her, doesn't like Michigan women because she's not pro-abortion. So she says she doesn't like the women of Michigan.
Sure.
I mean, think about that. Just because she's not... pro-abortion.
They're crazy.
I know. But people believe it. That's the problem.
Yeah, they're crazy. Listen, you can't help stupid. The bottom line is you can't help stupid. I've tried.
Or blinded eyes.
God knows I've tried to help stupid people. I have always failed. I have always failed in my attempts to help stupid people. If I've tried 1,000 times, I failed 1,000 times. Stupid people don't want help.
And when God blinds their eyes, a lot of people, there's no opening them.
Yeah,
you see?
Sure.
Unless he does it. And I'm beginning to understand that more and more because some of the stupid things, you know, we see around us happening all the time and people don't see it. They really don't see it. You know, I sent a text today. At my husband's place of work on Friday night, I think it was, no one said anything. They had a guy in there who threatened to kill everybody in the plant. Everybody.
Oh.
That was Friday night. So my husband walks into work Monday morning to find this out because they didn't contact everybody in the plant,
only the
people on that shift. And they have security in there working now for a few weeks, you know, a security guard, because the guy said he will get his brother. So over the weekend, they caught him and put him in jail. He's now denying it, but witnesses heard it all through the plant, you know. He's going to take everybody in the plant out. So it's kind of on edge. And then today I heard that at General Motors, one of the General Motors plant, somebody actually killed someone in that plant.
Wow. Wow.
And my husband's friend texted me and he said, what's happening to this world? He said to me, and I said, an end. The only thing I could think of writing, I put, an end. That's what's happening. Now, he didn't say anything back, but, you know, said things are getting bad.
Sure.
So, you know, but it's amazing. You know, my husband said, well, you know, just goes to work. He doesn't worry about things like that, you know.
Sure.
But yet this man threatened to kill everyone. Now, think about that in my little town. It's not a violent town. You know what I'm saying. It's a quiet town, not a big town. It's not violent. Everybody gets along. And the scary thing about that could be about this is this guy has spent many, many years in prison. Right?
Right.
And the only thing my husband could say is maybe you need to vet these people better before you hire them. You know, I thought you might vet people before you hire them. What's going on? So that's still ongoing. So we'll see.
Wow.
You know how that works out. But you know, I was thinking people are watching these things going on, and they still don't get what's going on. You know, or they don't see it. He actually sees that things are getting dark. But there's people that just say, well, you know, they just take it for granted that these things are happening. They have no concept of what's going on. This is normal to them, the new normal, you know, and they don't see the things deteriorating right before their eyes. And those are the people that are blinded, really blinded to the truth, you know. And they can't see what's going on around them. It's amazing. So,
yes, it is.
Okay. Okay. So we'll go on to audio two. This is Hugo again, and the headline is Hannah Fry, BBC Unvaccinated TV Show. Now, this starts with a new TV show in the UK called Unvaccinated. Think about that. Hugo then does some research on the actor, Hannah Fry, and finds a similar show she did in 2018 about a pandemic. Now, anyone who still thinks our current crisis, you know, wasn't already planned, they really need to hear this audio, okay? So part of this, the show, it shows all this propaganda, you know, how the propaganda machine keeps moving forward as far as, you know, these different diseases or pandemics and things like that. But it's interesting what he found out about Hannah Fry and why they would have a TV series called Unvaccinated. Do you see the pitting now? They're pitting people against each other. Now they've created a reality show about it. So anyway, we'll listen to it. It's 0 to 8:49, so it's 8:49 if you want to play it.
Here we go.
Okay.
Hello? Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talk. So the propaganda BBC put out a TV show, I believe it was a couple of nights ago, called Unvaccinated, presented by Hannah Fry, who is apparently a mathematician and a BBC talking head presenter, influencer. As we can see here, she's very fond of the one-eye peekaboo poses, with a peacock evil eye, no less. Seems to be the norm these days with people on a telly. Anyhow, I've never heard of her before, but then again, I don't watch the BBC at all. I had no plans on watching this dross either. As we all know by now, anything the BBC produce, especially relating to this subject, is going to be a hack job, a biased propaganda piece. Of course it is. The premise of this show is that they take a number of individuals who have not taken the jab, and then they put them in a house and try to persuade them otherwise, okay, that their opinions are wrong. So there are a few coinkydinks about all of this, which I'll get onto in a moment. But first off, I did end up watching this TV show last night. Someone had uploaded it to YouTube, so curiosity got the better of me, and it was exactly as I thought. The whole thing appeared staged, in my opinion. Some people have stated that, well, at least nobody changed their mind, which leads me to wonder why. I mean, why would the BBC produce a program which didn't change anyone's mind? Why would they then put that show out? Well, I tweeted this out earlier, and this is my opinion. This is what I took away from the show last night. I said, now let me guess, BBC propaganda show, it results in no one changing their mind. Is it possible that this show is set up so that in the future a number of these individuals will suddenly get ill or worse, and this will be followed by extensive media coverage saying, oh, how foolish they were not to listen to these people on the BBC. Is that the game here? Is that what they're trying to do with this? That's what I thought, that this show is merely setting up a narrative for a later date. I mean, if you feel this way, and you're one of the people on this show, I mean, why would you ever go on this show by the BBC? I mean, surely you should realize by now that the BBC is going to be biased and that this show would only be made with an agenda in mind. I've also noticed that some of the individuals are now appearing on GB News. Yeah, GB News. The pretend alternative media platform sponsored and funded by the mainstream media. So to me, that is a big red flag. But anyway, enough of my speculations. Let me know what you think in the comments. Now, the real reason for making this video is I wanted to draw your attention to a couple of videos, investigation videos, made, I believe, about 7 months ago by a creator called Pigs Hooey. And I've not heard of this before, so it's very interesting. I'll leave a link below to the two videos in question in the description and in the comments. But I'll give you a brief synopsis. So it just so happens that way back in 2018, Hannah Fry made a BBC4 show called Contagion, the BBC4 Pandemic, a program. It was an experiment to simulate a pandemic. Okay, 2018.
I'm about to break some life or death news to the people that are gathered here. Now, I may look or even feel perfectly normal, but I'm actually carrying a potentially lethal disease that has been spreading around this normally quiet, leafy little town. And the locals are gathered here to find out whether I've infected them.
We are about to simulate the outbreak of a fatal contagion throughout the UK.
That might seem like a funny thing to want to do, but if I can succeed, this will save lives when, not if, a real pandemic hits. Now the infection started here in Hazelmere.
We want this small town to give us a close-up view of an outbreak. Watch how a virus spreads from one person to the next. Smartphones are the perfect tool for pandemic research. forget the phone bit. It's the combination of a built-in GPS tracker and specially designed apps that make them a data gatherer's dream.
This was made 2 years before, okay? Hosted by Hannah Freight, this TV show had much preparation and was based in Hazelmere. It says here, phase one of the BBC's experiment involved the small town of Hazelmere, Surrey, where volunteers were given phone apps that would register as infected if they came too close to host and mathematician Dr. Hannah Fry, who was patient zero. Phase two involved a different app and a national setting where over the course of 24 hours, infectious volunteers would have their activity tracked to show just how rapidly a deadly disease would multiply and spread across the UK. So here we had a simulation BBC show produced in 2018 which simulated the use of phone apps to track individuals and ping them if they got too close to someone with a smartphone who had been infected by the host, Hannah Fry, who was patient zero in Hazelmere. Now, the big coinkydink here is that this show used Hazelmere as the place where the first transmission would occur. And would you believe it? Would you believe it? The first transmission 2 years later in February 2020 in the UK, guess where it was? It was, lo and behold, it was also in Hazelmere, Surrey. Yes, Hazelmere, Surrey was where the first transmission was recorded, just as it did exactly the same in the simulation BBC TV program presented by Hannah Fry 2 years earlier. So what are the chances of that? Is it just another coinkydink? Hannah Fry said that it was spooky how this happened, that the simulation town where Patient Zero was located was also the same 2 years later. It also transpires, if you watch the video, links in comment and description, that the company that made the app for the BBC pandemic simulation show in 2018 then went on to develop apps for tracing or for tracking and tracing 2 years later. Hannah Fry then went on to do a zombie apocalypse simulation on another BBC show in 2019. I believe this was part of the Royal Institute Christmas Lectures, which was called Secrets and Lies, where she talks about bending the world to your view using numbers. And then 2 years later, Jonathan Van Tam also did this show as well in 2021. So yeah, it's interesting that she was involved in this pandemic simulation show in 2018. Well, I say 2018, that's when it was put out on BBC Four, but the show was in planning way before that, back in 2017, because they were putting out adverts getting the locals from Hazelmere to download the app for the experiment. So she fronted this show and is now making this show, fronting the show about the unvaccinated. So that's a brief summary. There's a lot more in this story. So check out the two videos below where the person investigating this really digs into it and discovers a lot of connections between the BBC show and people in government, okay? So, as always, thanks for listening. Come and subscribe to HugoTalks.com, and I'll see you later.
Very interesting.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Planning ahead. Planning ahead. Like
sure.
I said, the propaganda machine keeps moving
mm-hmm.
forward, you see?
Sure.
They put their plans
sure.
in plain sight. Now, you couldn't make a pandemic start in a town 2 years before, a little town like that, 2 years before the pandemic hits, even if you wanted to. You see what I'm saying? After they've done a
mm-hmm.
show there, said,
right.
talking about a pandemic and the vaccine and the track and trace and all that.
Right.
You couldn't do
mm-hmm.
that.
Right.
You could. It's. You know, what are the odds? They're so remote. That really happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
With that man.
No, and the thing is, it happened in this. It first appeared in England in the same little town that this lady was mm-hmm. doing the show.
Mm-hmm. In 2018.
Right.
Huh.
Sure.
Amazing. Amazing. Now, I have a story also from this weekend that goes along with this, kind of, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is a real story because I had a conversation with someone this weekend. So I was busy this weekend, very busy. Okay, this lady, she's an American who lives in Canada, okay? She's married. She legally lives in Canada because she's married to a Canadian, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She has a U.S. doctor, and she lives near the border. So she travels across, you know,
right.
to see her doctor. This is a heart doctor. Every time she returns back to Canada, where she's has a home, you know, a nice home,
right.
nice life, she's given a hard time getting back in, into Canada, even
mm-hmm.
though she's legally in Canada.
Right.
She was even threatened during COVID with a $35,000 fine for traveling back and forth to see her doctor. Now, there's no problem coming into the U.S. for her. No problem
right.
at all. She has absolutely no problem. It's when she's returning to Canada, there's a problem. She was then informed that if she wanted to continue to visit her doctor in the U.S., you know, and travel back and forth, she needed to be fully vaccinated or get herself a Canadian doctor and drop her American doctor. Now, we're keeping
Crazy.
In mind this is a U.S. citizen, right?
Right.
So she got fully vaccinated, and then, of course, if her husband wanted to travel with her, he needed to be fully vaccinated too, according to the
wow.
Canadian government.
Wow.
Then they had to download vaccine passports or track and trace to travel back and forth. Now, she has children in the United States, right, that live in the United States, and grandkids in the U.S. So they did that. They downloaded the app, you know. Now they have to fill out why they are going to the United States and how long they'll be there. Are you going to be there an hour? Where are you going? Are you going to be there an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours? What is your purpose? This is
wow.
a U.S. citizen. So we know that these COVID passports, track and trace, are nothing more than tracking tools, because that's exactly what happened. And remind you, this is a U.S. citizen legally living in Canada. So I can tell you from what she said exactly where this is leading and exactly, you know, what they're doing over there. This
right.
is personal experience, you know. Now, as far as regarding the media, I saw an article, and it was written by an ex-Times reporter titled, "The Day I Knew Journalism Had Died in America." Now, he actually said it was in 1994 when he was investigating a story that threatened President Bill Clinton and many senior officials and administrators. He got fired
right.
for doing that story. And so he knew that was the day that true journalism died, or that was the year.
Hmm. I got to tell you, Canada's the last place I would ever want to live.
Absolutely.
It's you know, if I didn't live here, I would love to live in London. That everybody
mm-hmm.
knows my preference there.
Yeah.
But
yep.
don't send me to Canada. That's for sure.
Right. Right.
Don't want to live there.
I wouldn't either.
No.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
Her husband worked in Canada, you know, retiring a good job in Canada. They have a house in Canada, you know, a nice place in
yeah,
Canada.
Don't become a Canadian citizen.
Right. And she's
you
not.
Know.
She's still an American citizen. She's just
right.
under married to a Canadian. That's her status.
Sure.
An American married to a Canadian. So that's her status, and she's treated like that as an American. Canada, anybody?
Yeah, whatever you do.
Don't go to Canada.
Right, sure.
Crazy. That's
no,
crazy.
You couldn't pay me to live in Canada. I'm
right.
sorry, Canadian.
Trudeau's crazy.
I'm sorry.
He's crazy. My opinion.
Right.
He's right up there with Klaus and Prince Charles and all that kind of
sure,
thing.
Sure.
Know? So
sure.
he's, you know, right in with that bunch. So we know where that's going. Okay. Another story. Al Sharpton claims the Bible is about choice when it comes to abortion. That's his claim.
Sure.
Yeah. That's his message when he was asked how Democrats should engage older black voters who have deeply held religious beliefs. That's his theological argument for it.
Sure.
He said the Bible, if you're using this as a religious argument, the Bible is about choice. You can go to heaven or hell. He continues.
Right.
He says, there's nowhere in the Bible that says you have to go to heaven. So where do you get this theology of forcing someone when the reality is you can't biblically base that? It's about
right.
choice. He said, as a minister, you preach not to compel, but to convert. Would you like to answer him?
Listen, Al Sharpton is a loser. he starts out as James. Remember, he started out with James Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, he's James Brown's gopher.
The Man's World. Is that his
yeah.
song he does?
And and so he goes from James Brown to preaching. That ought to tell you everything.
Right.
He's a hustler, you know. Now he's at MSNBC. He can't preach the Bible on MSNBC; they'll fire him. So
right.
you know he's a hustler. He's a good for nothing. He's another one who's been living off of people for years. He's a parasite.
Yep.
The guy's the guy is a parasite.
Why do people go? You know, they do go to him. For and think that the advice that he gives is biblical, you know? And as he said in the article there, he said, you know, how should we engage with older black voters who have deeply held religious beliefs? He's talking about the church, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
How do we engage? You just tell them it's about a choice.
Right. How do we get them to betray God and even themselves, right? That's basically what he's saying.
Yes, that's exactly what he's saying. You got that. That's exactly
sure.
what he's saying.
So, Sharpton, I mean, just like the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who wants to hear anything the Reverend Jesse Jackson has to say?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Yeah.
I sure don't.
That's for sure.
I never listened to those guys when they would come around the neighborhood. Didn't want anything to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
I was looking at the word about that, and there is a choice, you know, in things. But the Lord also tells us what to choose, the way to choose. When I looked at Deuteronomy 30:18, it says, call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. The word choose there is to try or select. So the Lord's telling us. And, of course, this was to the Israelites before they were crossing into the Jordan to possess the land, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
you can choose to be disobedient or you can
right.
choose to obey the Lord,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yep.
But abortion, quite frankly, you know, you're In essence, you're sacrificing your child for your own needs and desires in many cases. And I don't know how else to put it, you know. But that's it. I can't afford, I can't do this, I can't do that, you know. So I don't know what else to say about that. But, yes, you do choose, but there's a difference. If you're going to choose disobedience, you know, you can choose to obey or choose not to obey the Lord. Correct?
Listen. A baby's a baby. A baby,
yep.
You know, think about it.
Touchy subject for me.
Let's talk about, for a minute. Let's talk about a she bear.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about a female bear.
Mm-hmm.
When I walked through the woods, and we have bears up here, but you know they hide.
Ooh.
But if you're deep in the woods, if you're
right.
deep in the woods, and you happen to walk by a mama bear. And her little cubs are in the vicinity.
Cubs.
You better pray for the rapture.
Yes, exactly.
Because she is gonna whip your behind.
Yep.
Right? I mean now think about this. Here's an animal
mm-hmm.
that will kill anything that comes near
yep.
her babies. And we
That's
have
true.
Women. We have women killing their own babies.
Yep.
Think on that
yep.
for a moment. You have
yep.
she bears that protect their babies from everything and anything. And you have women who are killing their babies. Wrap your head around that.
Right.
So.
You can't. It's
yep.
almost like the animals know better.
Yep.
You know?
So, yeah.
You know what I'm
Reverend
saying?
Thompson,
and that's true with any animal, by the way.
Sure.
Most
sure.
animals that I know, if you get between them, the mothers, and their babies, you're in trouble. That's true with the buffalo. It's true with anything.
Right.
You know? But go ahead. Al Sharpton,
well,
you were saying.
Reverend, you know, you can talk to Reverend Sharpton about choice because he chooses to iron his hair every morning. So that's the wrong guy to go to ask for choices when in the morning he's plugging the iron and putting his head on the ironing board. You know, so he's the last guy I would be asking about choices.
I go
we'll
on
leave it,
there.
Yeah.
Do these
we'll
things.
Leave it at that. We'll leave it at that.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Please. Oh, boy. I don't know
mm-hmm.
about you. Okay. This is an important story because it's audio 3 we're going to, and Ireland farmers are offered money to cull or kill cows. In fact, they're being offered 5,000 euros to do so. And we have one on Hugo again. He's pretty good. Now, there's a thought attached to this from me. I was thinking, you know, we're guaranteed by God in his word that in the last days we'll have the overcoming and conquering of nations and people. The peace will be taken away from, you know, the earth and men shall slay one another. We know the periscales means famine or lack of food, and we know that death by sword, by famine, by plague, and by the beasts of the earth. We know that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I believe this story gives us an indication of just how famine could arise. If they do this with several types of animals, not just the cows, it could start a
right.
chain of events, you know, famine. Because
sure.
when you, we're not talking about just the cow here. Because if you lose a cow, you're losing your meat, your milk, your butter. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The manure with the fields. So,
right.
you know, and that would make shortages in grain, vegetables. It would make all kinds of things. Someone had
sure.
commented on that, and I noticed a chain of events there that could happen. If they get paid to you know, take the cows out. So it's
right,
only
right.
3 minutes and 7 seconds if you'd like. It could create a famine scenario.
Right, right.
If they start doing this on a large
sure.
scale. So
sure.
it's only 3 minutes. Do you want to? So this would
absolutely.
Line up with something in the Bible, which they all should, all these stories. But what I'm saying is this directly, you know, can affect the entire world if they start doing this all over, which I think they will. But that's just me.
Well,
it's my opinion.
In the new bill that Biden signed, in that new bill, the new green energy bill that they just signed, they're paying
mm-hmm.
farmers not to farm.
Right.
So
in the Netherlands?
The
government, they're trying to take away the farms. You know, if you don't take what they offer you for the farm, they refuse permits to do farming over there. That's what they're doing. So, because over there, you know, it's like anything else. Different countries have different laws, and over there they need permits for farming. Well, if they offer to buy your farm for whatever price they want to pay, and you say, no, I don't want to take that, they can refuse to give you a permit to farm to begin with. Do you see?
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
Amazing.
Sure. All right, here's the
so
clip.
So if you want to play that.
Yeah, from Mr. Hugo.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks. Going to try and put out some quick videos today. Won't waffle too much. It's just more insanity. Someone sent me this morning from Ireland. Irish Farmers Journal front page. What a headline. Proposal to pay farmers in Ireland €5,000 to cull cows. They want to pay farmers €5,000 per cow to get rid of them. Notice they use the word cull, not kill or slaughter. Oh no, cull. It says here, a compensation payment for farmers of up to €5,000 per cow is being considered by the Food Vision Dairy Group. The latest report from the group has said that would more directly reduce agricultural activity in Ireland and would reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The Department of Agriculture estimates the move would take 45,000, whatever that is, of carbon dioxide equivalent out of the atmosphere for every 10,000 cows culled. Now, going by the person who sent me this, €5,000 is more than the going rate for a cow. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong on that. Now, I don't know. They are proposing to bribe farmers with money to give away and destroy their stock, yeah, their livelihood. They say that money is the root of all evil, don't they? What has been going on in the Netherlands is obviously going to be coming to Ireland. And, you know, I understand that farmers are going to be put in a very difficult position here. But I imagine, you know, it's like you own a sweet shop. You sell nothing but sweets and someone comes in and offers to buy all of your sweets and take them away, yeah? You might actually be better off. But what is the point of you now? You're just sitting in a shop with nothing to sell. You know, they may start saying, oh, we want to get rid of this amount of cows now, but what happens in 6 months' time? They're going to come back and they're going to have even more harsher limits and will want to take more. Money is not everything. I mean, why are you a farmer? What's the point of being a farmer if you're just going to accept money to not be a farmer? I mean, what if they come in and offer you money to destroy your crops or whatever? I mean, it should be about more than money. A farmer should be proud of his job. It's not just a job for money. It's an occupation, an important occupation. It's providing food for communities. It's providing food that humans need. There are responsibilities which a farmer should take pride in. I mean, if you take the money, you're basically just putting yourself out of a job. I mean, that's it really, isn't it? I don't know. Let us know what you think in the comments. As always, thanks for listening. Come and subscribe to HugoTalks.com, and I'll see you later.
But I'm going to tell you why a lot of people are going to go for it.
Fences?
Well,
feed them?
One is they're paying you to kill the cow. They're not paying you for the cow. Okay?
Right.
For example, the government gives me $5,000 to get rid of this cow. But then when I kill it, I sell the meat off. I can make another $3,000 or $4,000. In addition to that, I can sell the hide. Now, I'm painting a scenario, right? Okay. So
yes,
you're basically getting two. All right. Now, I know for a fact that a lot of people are getting out of farming. One is that some of the farmers I know are too old, and their kids do not want to follow in their footsteps.
Yes.
Right? Okay, so so you're 70, and here you are getting up at 3 in the morning, milking 100 cows. After you milk them, then you got to shovel their manure into a manure pit, which, by the way, is no easy, it's no easy joke. Okay? Whether you're shoveling it with a shovel, or even if you have a little forklift tractor where you're shoveling them, you're still smelling it. Right? Okay.
Yep.
Then you got to milk them again in the evening. You're having dinner at 9. You take a shower. You don't get the manure smell off of you. You go to bed to be up at 3 again to start milking.
Right.
So nobody wants to milk cows at 3 and at 7 and finish at 9 because then they come and they buy the milk from you and you're breaking even.
Right.
Right? So look at all the work. Look at all the work, the back-breaking work. So here they come, and here they come, and they do to you like they did to people during COVID. Hey, don't go to work. We'll pay you anyway. Don't
Exactly. It's a good point.
So
what
do you think? What do you think people are going to do? They're going to take the check. Because look, I know Hugo is well intentioned, and so am I, and so are you. But one thing is to say, you know, don't sell your cows, and another thing is, there you are. Hugo's at home doing videos while you're milking and shoveling manure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
he's looking at the long term.
Because
if one does it and they do it, I mean, we're going to be no meat, no milk,
dairy. I'm on Hugo's side. I'm not for the green people. I'm on Hugo's side, but take a little trip down to the farm one day, and shovel and let them give you the shovel and say, okay, Hugo, you're going to be shoveling all day today.
Yep.
And see if you want to do that.
I know.
And see if you want to do that forever. Right.
Yes, exactly.
And by the way, when you go to a milking farm, they have this siren that you hear all day long. It's a siren. And the purpose for the siren, the job of that siren is to scare birds away. Because when they put down the feed for the cows, and the feed for the cows is very expensive, thousands of birds come into the barn to eat the feed.
Oh, yeah.
So they have this siren that is on 24/7 to scare the birds away. And by the way, when you're milking cows and you're shoveling that manure, that's all you hear. That siren is in your head, going on. Or you must be sleeping and hearing that thing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. When you and your husband come to my neck of the woods, I'm gonna take you to some farms. Mm-hmm. I want to show you how hard this stuff is.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I know from having horses growing up and then having my own horse, I mean, that's just that, and that's not anything like milking cows and stuff. That's a lot of work. It is a lot of work
sure.
to take care of them.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Clean
I
the
got
barns,
one do-
clean the stalls
have,
every day.
Yeah, I have one dog that when he goes to the bathroom is the size of a dinosaur. And everybody's waving at me from the window and saying, Daddy, you're doing such a good job, Daddy. But here I am bending over to pick it up.
Horn goes
and
off.
That's, right. And that's one dog. That's and I'm already tired. Right?
Yeah, I had you in mind with that video, by the way.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
So it's no, listen, it's no joke.
Yeah.
It's no joke. So yeah. when they come around and say, hey, we'll give you $5,000 for killing each cow,
yeah.
that does not include the fact that they give you to kill the cow, but then you get to do whatever you want with that meat. And that
mm-hmm.
meat, boy, you can make a lot of money on meat.
Yep.
A lot of money.
Yeah, so it's going to be way tempting for people is what you're saying.
Very
tempting. To take
the
money.
And remember, you don't have to do – and here's the other thing. Then they come to you and they say, hey, you know, you got this 1,000 acres here. Why don't you sign – now that you got rid of the cows, why don't you sign a long-term lease with us so that we can put up solar panels and windmills?
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy says,
that's right.
You mean to tell me I don't have to milk cousin and you're going to give me a check for solar panels and windmills? Where do I
right.
sign? Where do I sign?
Exactly.
See?
Yep.
So they're making
it easy. That's what farmers did in England, by the way.
Right.
Yep.
They're making it easy. That's
yeah.
what they're doing. That's how, that seems. And then you got a guy like Bill Gates, and what is he doing? He's buying all the farmland. Why? Because he's going to get
right.
into cows. He's going to get into
yeah.
cows. And who are the workers? Well, the Mexicans coming over the border now.
Yes, exactly.
See?
Exactly.
They have it all figured out. So
mm-hmm.
they're going to give us checks to stay home, and then the new Mexicans coming over the border, those are the ones that are going to be working the cows. And they're going to be happy.
I actually saw that in my little town. I'm going to tell you, you're right, because we were shocked. We went into Walmart, and it was full of a busload of, you know, I mean, you would notice
yeah.
in my town, right, when you have
sure.
a busload pull up of
sure.
Hispanics who come
right.
in and getting food in one department. They filled the whole area of the department, you know, filling up with food and stuff. And I said
sure.
to my husband, that's got to be migrant workers. Where do we have
sure.
migrant workers? And I was talking, same thing happened the next week when my husband's friend was in town. And he said, well, north of here, they have a lot of farming, you know.
Right.
So they're coming into town from the north where they're using
sure
migrant
they
workers in the field. So you're absolutely
sure
right.
Absolutely.
And I just noticed because I've just never noticed that before here. You know, we've
you
never
know,
seen that
right.
where I live.
Sure, sure. So they're letting them in with a reason.
Mm-hmm.
They're letting them in.
And none of them spoke English. Because they couldn't
not.
Understand the checkout system, you know.
Absolutely. Poor people. It's sad. But, you know,
yeah.
they're hardworking people. So,
yes,
you know,
they are.
You know, listen. It is what it is, but I can already see
yep.
what's happening.
Yeah,
I can already see what's happening. See,
that's it.
And so they're going to give Americans
in the United States
yeah.
the kids won't work for you know they're trying to get them here, and our cost of living is nothing next to New York. Okay, to where you're at, our cost
right.
of living is, you know, a lot lower than that
mm-hmm.
in this state. And I, well, except Detroit, but I can tell you that you can't get a kid to work for $17 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
Yeah.
And that's quite a bit where, you know, in Michigan. That's quite
sure.
a bit. not in Detroit, because that's, you know, very exclusive now. But, you know, you cannot get someone, a kid, a single kid, to work for $17 an hour with health benefits and everything. It's just like, nah, I'm not doing it. Rather stay home. That's terrible. So you don't think that the, you know, the Hispanics won't come across the border and take that $17 an hour? Absolutely.
They'll take the 17, live on 6, and send 11 back home.
Exactly.
That's
and I mean, they are in poverty in Mexico. I'm telling you.
Sure.
You know that.
Sure.
I mean,
absolutely.
There's big time poverty over there. So
absolutely.
I don't blame them for that. You know, I really don't. But I did notice it. That's the thing. I noticed because, you know, we live in such a small town that
mm-hmm.
when that happens, it's like, what happened?
You know
what happened here. I mean, because it just was noticeable. That's all. But you know, you're right. And I say more power to them. Like Joseph is, but are they here legally? That's the point. You know.
Well, look. They're not here legally. We know that. But you see, people support candidates. Rich people need workers. They can't
mm-hmm.
find workers because they've already given workers free paychecks. So, you know, people don't want to work. And so they're going to need a new base. And and so they're bringing them over. See?
Yep.
That's it. They're bringing them
and
over.
You're right. I witnessed it myself. That's what I was saying. You're
mm-hmm.
absolutely right on that one.
Yep.
And we knew, you know, I knew, didn't know where they were from, but basically it's just a bit north and it's all farming. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So you nailed that. Okay, we have audio 4, and you're going to start this at 42 seconds in. And there's only one reason I am playing this. The title of it is New Religion You're Not Allowed to Talk About. And I wanted to play this clip because this singer is right. I believe he started singing, you know, like on the Internet. Not sure. I'm not sure. Don't even know who he is. I've seen him in a few chat rooms, believe it or not, and his name is Buddy Brown. He's no theologian, okay? So don't expect
mm-hmm.
that. But the whole idea about the woke movement being an actual religion is correct. And I'm just glad somebody else saw it. So if you want to start at 42 seconds in
mm-hmm.
And play to the end, you can.
Okay.
About 20,000 a month. I think it's about an hour and a half enjoyable night, this Thursday night. In the blink of an eye, y'all, it really just kind of came out, and it's like a cancer that we can't stop the spread of. I'm talking about a new dark religion that's taken over America and the world, and it is called the woke religion. The woke religion? You heard me right. People are too scared to call that what it is, I think, because here's the deal, y'all. It's not a fad. This is not a trend. It's an all-out religion. Its church doors are Fortune 500 companies, and its gatekeepers are very good-looking and charismatic celebrities that are going to deceive millions and pull you straight into the pit of hell. Y'all imagine, real quick, if a lady was at a bookstore, and she took a book from the fiction section, and she placed it in nonfiction. Does that make it the nonfiction a true story all of a sudden? Of course not. But another person bought the book, and then after it was wrongly moved to nonfiction, they spent the rest of their lives actually believing that it was real. That, my friends, is wokeism in a nutshell. So who's the god of this woke religion, you ask? Yourself. In the woke religion, you are the center of every universe. Your wants, your thoughts, your feelings, those things are all what's number one. What's the definition of a religion? Religion is a personal set or institutionalized system of attitudes, beliefs, and practices. Well, guess what? Without even noticing, wokeism has become a religion because it has tenets, it has responsibilities, and it's got bylaws. Now, 10 years ago, everybody laughed at this stuff. Now it controls the momentum of everything. We are talking about the most intolerant religion of all times, because you can't stand up or say anything about it, y'all. And I wanted to point out the seriousness of this being a religion and not just a trend, because when you look at a trend, people can just pretty much take it or leave it, right? But if you look at a religion, they'll fight for it, they'll even die for it. And I tell you all the time, I'm not religious. I follow Jesus, I follow his word, but if I was really religious, I would be in a church pew every Sunday, looking right, sounding right, having my act together on the outside. I'd be wearing khaki pants all the time and a button-down shirt. I'd be sitting in the same pew. Those things are religious. Forget that. I ain't checking boxes. I'm walking with the Lord. And I could tell my kids to do all their chores, and they could be perfect at it 100% of the time, but if they don't sit next to me on the couch every now and then, if they don't give me a hug when I'm passing by them in the kitchen sometimes, or if they don't even ever speak to me, there's really no relationship there, is there? If this really is a full-blown religion, like you say, buddy, then why don't they just come out and say it? Because they're getting way too much done. Don't you remember this whole thing? Congress shall make no law respecting any religion. Remember that? If they keep it on the DL and they pretend it's just a movement, they can get all the companies, all the schools, all the media on their side. They can even get Merriam-Webster's dictionary, who, by the way, just changed the definition of a woman to the opposite of male. Anybody who identifies as the opposite of male. That just happened, by the way. This is not a movement. This is a full-fledged real deal here, and you got to pay attention to it. I started these videos in about 2020, 2 years ago, just a little backwoods wisdom, because I want to share music and I want to share laughter with y'all. But I also don't want y'all to be blindsided by things like this, okay? Because millions and millions of homes have the woke book in their nonfiction section right now. So make sure in your house you take that book and you put it in the fiction section. And then move it down to the dadgum trash can where it belongs. God bless y'all. Be good.
Pretty interesting.
He made a good point, and I'm going to tell you what he did. So the movement, if it's a religion, if they can make it, you know, and say it's a religion, which I believe it is too, you know, it's a belief system. They can take each agenda and get it protected by religious, you know, against discrimination. You see what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? Because
yeah.
it's a religion. It can then be protected by law. So
mm-hmm.
think about it. Like the LGBTQ now are protected by law.
Right,
and in my
right,
state,
right.
they just passed a thing. There's no discrimination. You cannot evict LGBTQ now. You
right.
can't evict them. Because they can call it discrimination, you know,
mm-hmm.
no matter what they. So he made a good point, you know. So if the gay movement, like, is protected legally now, so everything they believe and they bring in to the world or church or wherever will eventually be legally protected by law. Do you see where he's going
right.
with this? That's
mm-hmm.
a good point. That's what I saw in what he said. So,
sure.
you know, so where does that leave the believer? You know, out. I can tell you now, out. Because, see, if they can protect this under a religion, like they did with discrimination, you know, under, and they can get it protected underneath a religion, they could say, okay, we can have the drag queen story hour in the church
mm-hmm.
because we're a religion and it's legally protected. You see?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do you get my
no.
point with that? I see where
Absolutely.
This could head.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They
can
that's
give
why
the
I think he made a good point.
Yeah, they
Go
can
ahead.
Give the woke system 501c3 status.
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it?
Very.
Interesting.
Very, very interesting.
Yep. And I think that's what they'll do eventually. I really do.
Yeah.
I
everything's going to be a religion. Everything's going to be a religion now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
So, audio 5A I want you to look at. 5 is too hard to get past the commercials. So I found a better one on 5A. This is Heretic Jan Hatmaker. She says LGBT and black people don't feel safe around Jesus because he's a white man. Now, this is taking it way too far.
Sure.
Yep, it's only a minute, 30 seconds, but we want to hear what she has to say. This is too far, taking it too far.
Yeah, here she is.
It's interesting, though, viewing Jesus as a white man and God as father, or as, you know, a man, period, emerging from the clouds, like, you know, with this stern disposition and this sort of ruling with an iron fist and this powerful, almost punitive approach to humanity generally serves one group of people in one gender, this idea, which makes it so painful and difficult for black and brown and female and LGBTQ plus communities to see themselves in this personification, not just see themselves, but feel safe with this God, right? To feel cherished, to feel protected, to feel included. So it is the work of a lifetime, honestly, to upend those images and ideas of God and Jesus that we've been shown, well, at least for me, my whole life. It's interesting, though, viewing.
Now, this is a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
Whom black people, and I don't mean to use this term in a derogatory way, but this is a woman whom black people in the projects would call a cracker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Again, I'm not using, I'm just using it as a lesson, okay?
Yep.
Now, a cracker means a saltine cracker. Saltine crackers are white.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So she's a cracker.
Mm-hmm.
She's got white earrings on.
Yep.
And she's got white long fingernails. And she's using her hands. And while she's talking to me for this minute, all I can see is her white face and her white fingernails. And she's telling me that Jesus is too white.
Yes, exactly. Well, maybe she's following the pictures that she saw. You know, she thinks the pictures of him are accurate, that the Roman Catholic Church. Gee, I don't know.
Let me play this again. I got to see this again. Hold on. I got to see how she's doing the hand moves there and showing me her white fingernails.
Jesus is a white man, and God is father, or as, you know, a man, period, emerging from the clouds, like, you know, with this stern disposition and this sort of ruling with an iron fist and this powerful, almost punitive approach to humanity generally serves one group of people in one gender, this idea, which makes it so painful and difficult for black and brown and female and LGBTQ plus communities to see themselves in this personification, not just see themselves, but feel safe with this God, right? To feel cherished, to feel protected, to feel included. So it is the work of a lifetime, honestly, to upend those images and ideas of God and Jesus that we've been shown, well, at least for me, my whole life.
Wow, she's got daddy issues. That's what she's got.
Well, she's got some issue.
She
needs to repent. She's got big issues here.
Big
issues saying that. This is rebellion, I mean.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And who is this chick? Who's this chick?
Oh, she's big in the, you know, evangelical movement.
She is?
She's like, you know, yes. Yep.
Oh, unbeknownst
Jen Hatmaker.
To me.
Yeah. Well, I've never introduced her because she's a heretic. You know what I mean? I just not exposed her because, you know, it's like another Beth Moore, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She's like a Beth Moore. And I just, you know, never bothered with her because it's nonsense, you know?
Unless
I want to do a nonsense show. But that's more nonsense.
Sure.
So she does have a lot of pulse. She's been around for quite a while.
Okay.
She has a pull with those with that movement, you know.
Okay.
Right. People listen to her and
sure.
You know. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, well they listen to Larry Reed too. So both her and Larry Reed can share a table at the
exactly.
Lake of Fire restaurant.
Exactly. I tried to look up at Larry. I really tried because you showed, you know, last week that he had done something, and I tried to look at his stuff. I can't handle that too long, you know. With
No. He
does
listen,
get good news, though. I gotta admit, he does get the dirt on people.
Sure.
But you got to be able to you know, maneuver around him, I guess.
Yep.
I don't know. You
sure.
know. I don't know. Well, you know, sin offends God, and that's what she should be worried about, honestly, you know. And like D.W. says there on the clip, you know, we will not and cannot change the language of Scripture because someone might be offended. We don't change the Word of God if someone's offended by it, you know.
Right.
God is God, and he don't change. Remember that?
That's it.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, we have one more clip, and it's clip 6. This is, now, I want to say something here really quick. Phil Johnson, you need to watch who you walk with because you're constantly after other people and calling other people heretics, yet you're running with Mark Deaver, and he's, you know, a registered Democrat. He supports abortion. And he's a pastor in Washington, D.C. You know, he goes on the attack, Phil. And you know, bro, I have never trusted Phil Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He inserts himself. You know, I have videos that he does clips in and speaks every now and then. He's got the language down, okay? He's got the belief system down of Calvinism as far as speaking it. But you can't tell me that he's a Calvinist. You know,
right.
It's just like
right.
If I have an audio and you have six men speaking, we get to Phil and he says the right things. But does he believe
mm-hmm.
them? You know?
Right.
And
sure.
And technically, they're pulling back from Calvinism. But they, you know, we need to pull back from Calvinism, but not the teachings of Calvin. Because
right,
this
right.
is what it's turned into. So you'll hear Deaver or Dever, either way,
mm-hmm.
people pronounce it different. So it's a 1 minute, 20-second video.
Here it is.
Okay.
When I was talking to one family in our church, and they were explaining to me what it was like for their African American, for their two sons to get their driver's licenses in Illinois. And the mom was explaining to me that when they got their driver's license, they had a very serious conversation. They sat them down in their living room and explained, son, this license could get you killed. And they didn't mean because of driving, you know, fast and the kids didn't drink. It's because you could be shot if you don't do exactly what you're told. They weren't on TV. They weren't on CNN. This was a Christian family in their living room with a matter of utter seriousness. One of the things that most separates white and black Christians in America is one issue voting. And I could vote for a candidate who I disagree with about some very important issues that I don't really think they're going to get anything done on. I think one of the things that most separates white and black Christians in America is one issue voting. And I can vote for a candidate who I disagree with about some very important issues that I don't really think they're going to get anything done on. But I agree with them on these other issues that I think are going to help a lot of people. I think a lot of our African-American brothers and sisters realized like a long time ago that, well, there are going to be a bunch of different issues that are going to be affecting us. I think white Christians think this is the only moral way to approach voting.
Yeah, well, the thing is, again, I don't trust in government. I trust in the Lord. So you are directing
exactly.
them to government when they ought to be. You ought to be directing them to Christ. And if
right,
God
Phil.
Is sovereign, if God is sovereign, let him worry about policemen pulling you over and potentially shooting you. We trust
That's
in
right,
the sovereignty
Phil.
Of God, right? When I walk out
yeah.
the door each and every day, my life is in God's hands, not in the politician's hands who can't even
protect
themselves. Right?
Yep.
So,
yep, Bill.
There you go.
There you go. We just took Bill out right there.
Oh.
Hey, if he's buddy with this guy, you know, I would say, you know, he needs to rethink it. That's his friend.
Absolutely.
Especially after criticizing everyone else, Phil.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay? Thank you.
Yeah, this
okay,
why,
you
this
do
why,
know that.
This is why I don't follow people, because they get
exactly.
too big for their britches. And then,
yep.
you know, no, I follow the Lord. I follow
that's
the
right.
Lord, and that's that, plain and simple.
That's it.
Well,
preach it, brother.
Well, this was a great show. And I want you to vouch for me, and if the wife ever asked you if I was quiet, you know, I was quiet today. I wasn't really yelling or screaming or adding my two cents. So I know you're gonna vouch
for
me.
I'm not lying
for you. Yeah.
No,
I'm not saying lying. I'm not saying lying. I'm just saying, you know, put in the good word. Put in the good word. And so great
yeah,
show.
Yeah, right. I'm telling. Go ahead.
Yeah. Great show. So you have the last
all right.
word.
Well, you know, we'll see you next week, the Lord willing. Thank you for being here, and we'll speak to you later. Bye. And I'm telling, by the way. Bye.
When I found Jesus, he was holding on to me. Broken, I couldn't stand upon my feet. With a word he broke my chains, I was free to breathe again. My life was saved by the love and blood of Jesus. When I found Jesus, he was standing over me. I was down and out and living on the street. There were times I could have died, but the Lord was by my side. I didn't know I'd been saved by the blood of Jesus. He took the weight off my shoulders and came and gave me rest. He came. Gave me peace from my troubles, and Lord, I have been blessed. When I found Jesus, he was walking with me. On the lonely path of a Monday destiny, Master looked into my eyes. All the tears and heard my cries. Oh, where I stood, I was saved by the blood of Jesus. The empty promises of the world had forsaken me. Left me in the wilderness. It was Jesus who rescued me. He called my name. One touch from the King of Kings changes everything. For words to know where to start. But I know that I believe, I know I have received, and my sins are paid by the love and blood of Jesus. When I found you,